Well, it would be well this morning if I laid aside, as I did last week, although I did speak a little about prophecy last week because of Christ's birth. But I thought it would be well this morning if I spoke to you about New Year and what the New Year could mean to each of us in our personal lives. I think that as we approach this new year of 1969, we should think about what the great resolve of our heart is. I'm going to use several scriptures, but I don't mean the little resolves, you know, that the world has. Everybody's giving up things for New Year's. Well, I guess they might well give up smoking now. When I see some of the ads on television, I wonder how they can continue. They're really quite pointed. The last one I saw there that shows everybody having such a good time. We're all smoking together. Maybe you've seen that. You know, all the young people smoking. And then it says American Cancer Society. I wonder why they're having such a good time. And then it says, so many died of lung cancer last year. So, you know, as far as giving up things, I imagine there'll be a terrible lot of people who will be trying their best to give up smoking this year. I remember when I used to have, you know, the kind of resolves where you give up the thing that cost you the least. You hate to give up the things that are the most important. And you're trying to resolve to give up certain things that wouldn't be too difficult to give up, like chewing gum or something like that. But when it comes down to the basic things, things that may be really difficult, these are passed by pretty much. And most of the giving up, I'd have to say, is involved with the physical things. Incidentally, the lights on the cross are out behind me because it was interfering with the microphone. Just so you know, they have some flickering in some of the tubes back there that they have to undertake for. But when we think of the resolves of the world, it's always involved with some little thing that they're going to give up. Not especially for the Lord. It's a new year coming. And you got to do something. You got to have some kind of resolve somewhere. They seldom touch the inner life. Very seldom touch the inner life of the man or that expression of his life toward other people. Very, very seldom. By and large, they have their root in a selfish motive which will just may or may not affect the individual or others, but it may be for good health or it may be some reason, but it doesn't touch the real inner life of the person himself or herself. And few touch the very fiber of our beings. Very little touch the very fiber of our beings. And they're lightly made and therefore lightly cast off. How many people keep the resolves more than 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 weeks? Boy, if they get to a month, you know, it's tremendous. We kept this thing for a whole month. But this morning, I would like to talk about something that's really serious, to turn aside from the world's type resolves. Let's forget that, huh? Please, no Christian tell me they're giving up, you know, eating. I wouldn't want you to really be affected that way. Or you're going on a diet for New Year's. You know, it's all right. But this is not the Christian way. So let's talk about that which is really serious. And the form of resolve as a Christian that's meaningful. And I'd like to pose just two questions, if I might, to all of you this morning. Number one, what do I, in the sanctuary of my own heart and my own spirit, believe to be the most important thing in life? Number one, what do I feel is the most important thing in life? Actually now. And I said, in your own spirit and in your own heart. Because no one else but you and God will really know this, you see. A husband and wife cannot know this about each other. Children cannot know it about their parents or parents about the children. This type of resolve is deep within the soul. It involves the inner life. What is the most important thing in your life? Actually, in reality, we hear people today speaking so much about reality. We want reality. But honestly now, each individual, and not thinking, well, maybe someone in the church, someone else, or you think maybe the people beside you, they may need this thought, but you need the thought, and I need the thought. What is the most important thing in life? If God is judging your life right now, what would he see is the most important? Is Jesus the most important thing in your life? Is he really? I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it in the great body of Christianity that Christ is, although God says he should be, God says he is to be preeminent in all things, not in just something, in all things. Christ is the preeminent one. And yet I doubt that this would be actual reality or actual truth. So you have to determine honestly, in your heart, you really look at yourself. It's like I've often said, there is the spirit of a man that we're dealing with. God says, no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man. It's only the inner person that really knows you. You know whether you're inclined towards certain things, whether there's many other things outside of Jesus that attract your soul. And you have to determine that within your own breast. You sort of step outside yourself and leave yourself stand there and look at yourself inside. Make yourself transparent and say, I want to look at the real me. What am I? And what do I really think? I know I go to church. I know I do this. I know I do that. And I know what the people think about me. And I know my children feel this way about me, that I'm a good mother, that I'm a good provider. I cook well. I keep the house nice. But what am I? In me. What am I, Dad? Outside of what the children see about me in the 1 or 2 hours a day that they have any acquaintanceship with me. What am I really in the inner man? The man who thinks. The man who imagines. The man's thought life. For I would remind you that God deals many, many times more with the thought life and the inner life and the inner dispositions and all of these things than he does with all of the outward manifestations of sitting in pews and dressing nice and looking clean and doing all these things and cooking well. And I want to tell you, it's a bunch of tinsel, most of it. I don't say it's bad, it's good, but it should be put in its place. It has to be put in its place. If a mother has wasted, and I'm saying this very careful, wasted her life in just dealing with the temporalities and making sure our children are well clothed and well fed and brought up nicely and refined and cultured. And I want to say that's an accomplishment today. May I say that frankly? This, I have to say it's an accomplishment. If you have nice, cultured, obedient, good children, and they're refined and they have some manners about them, it's a great accomplishment. But I want to tell you that compared to the essential thing, which is that faith in Christ that is transcendent above everything else and makes everything else look as tinsel, if we have a proper perspective of life, all we've got is a body that's decaying, that's going to a grave if Christ doesn't come. We're bound to be placed in a coffin. And absolutely, life is a nothingness if all you've done is stress the temporalities and made the children look nice and dress nice, and the only commendation of people in the neighborhood is you have a nice home, and doesn't she dress the children nice, and they're so well fed. God help you before the judgment seat. I want to hear where someone in the neighborhood says, their children are amazing. They've really love the church they go to and the Savior. Amazing! This is the real mark. What is important in your life? The number two question that if I get a chance, I'll deal with is this. If, and I say this with great care, because I've just mentioned it, what would I do with my life right now and the lives of those that I love if I knew that death was going to snatch me out before the year 1969 was through? And let me tell you, it can be any of you, young or old. And I can tell you that by normal statistics, out of a group of this many people here this morning, between 3 and 5 will have died by 1970. Just normal. If I were to list those that I buried this past year, and if I had said in 1967, do you know that I will bury so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so? You would have said, oh, no, this can't be. My wife, my husband. Yeah, it can be, and it is every single year. And I bury the young, and I bury the old. So what would you do? Suppose mother, father, young person, death were to come this year. What would you do now? What would you be like as a man, as a father? Wouldn't you do something if you knew that within the next few months or the next 6 months or the next year, you would suddenly be snatched out of life? You know, I couldn't help but think the other day I had two men who... One I didn't know, but I picked up the paper the other day. Some of you may remember the policeman who would stand back there on Sunday and listen to my messages out there. He came in after he watched the walk. He was only 39 years old. And I would often see him when I'd go out and I'd say, how are you, Ernie? He'd say, it was great to be here today. He was a Roman Catholic. Or he'd say something like, never heard anything like that before. Well, I picked up the paper just a week ago. 5 children died. I hadn't seen him for only 2 months. He died of cancer. 39 years of age. Did he expect it? I only pray. I witnessed to him so many times in the village. I would stand with him on Hempstead Avenue telling him about Christ. And he stood out there, and he would listen. Take his hat off, you know, and he came in. Stand there and listen. Well, he's gone. I picked up the paper just 2 weeks ago. I don't know the man in Malvern, but he ran one of the stores in Malvern, and it's not the kind of business I care to be in, but he ran one of the stores in Malvern. And I picked up the paper. I've seen him standing outside the store, talked to him, picked up the paper. He was upstate on Sawmill River Parkway, little ice and leaves on the road, and the car turned over. He and his wife are in fatal condition, and their daughter, their only daughter, 15, was killed. Just like that. Eternity. Now, beloved, we must judge ourselves then. What do we really expect? What are you, as an individual, you face 1969 now. Let's open the innermost recesses of our hearts for just a few minutes and look inside and really become aware of what we really want, what is most important in your life. And I suppose if everybody has, you know, a little idea about that which is... important. But what is important to you? What would you say if I asked you this morning? You know, often I have people come to me and say, well, I'm glad I'm healthy. You have people say that, don't you? You know, I wish you good health. That's the big thing for New Year's.
help
to you. And I want to say, beloved, that it's very nice to be have a nice, you know, good, strong body. There's no doubt about that. Certainly that's part, I'm sure. I think good health is about the best thing I could have. Well, it's good. And I grant that it's fine to have a good, strong body. And there's a certain joy and thrill to it. And I even admit that in the spiritual area, it's nice to have a good, strong body. This doesn't mean that men with weak bodies haven't done more than those who have strong bodies. They have, in the Spirit of God. Many of the sick are the dynamic power of our Christianity. Paul was a burdened man. But it was that they believed that the Lord had power to heal where they had been possibly told, as Paul. Paul said, "Lord, heal me." And the Lord said three times to him, "Now, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." He prayed three times. And then the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you, lest you be exalted above your measure." God knows our needs. And there are great healing ministries of the Lord Jesus Christ to touch these bodies of ours and give us a vibrancy. And I have to say, good health as well, if it's being used for Jesus. It's a tragedy if it's being used by the devil. Isn't it a shame that so much good health has dissipated? But when you think of good health, you know, and the strong, vibrant body, and I think of men who tell me, you know, that now they're jogging 2 miles a day, feeling wonderful now. See, in the paper the other day, it's better to chin now. Jogging is secondary. If you put a chinning bar in your home and chin 12 times a day, you're going to be the happiest person in the world. It's the answer to life, chin. That's what it said. Biggest heart doctor in the country says chinning is better than jogging. Beloved, you know, I suppose it's true, and the young have to be very careful of this. When you get older, you begin to realize that no matter how much exercise you do, it isn't going to help too much. But I will say that you have to watch yourself, that you don't get this idea that as long as you have a healthy and a strong body, everything's going to be fine and it's going to make you happy. It won't make you happy. It won't give you joy of heart. Many times a strong body is dissipated. And the fact that a strong body is attained or has been received by someone, it's dissipated in the world. And many's the strong, vibrant man that's gone down and down and down in dissipation. So there is this area where, you know, you say, well, the physical body and strength, this would be wonderful. And I have to say that there was a day that I felt that way, I guess, when I was a young fella, you know, that this was the thing to do, to be good and strong. And I think I mentioned this once before. I remember when I was a young fellow, I thought, you know, physical strength and physical prowess, this would be the thing. When I was a boy, now I'm not aging myself, I be careful here, but when I was a boy, the only way you could be strong was to eat health salad and whole wheat bread. And I don't know how many of you remember who work in Manhattan, but there were restaurants that served two things, whole wheat bread and health salad. One of the names of the restaurant I remember well, Fultus Fisher. They made a whole wheat bread that was really whole wheat. Don't buy that stuff they said in the commercial packages. It's not real wheat if you want to be strong. And I can remember every single day I went for lunch, health salad, whole wheat bread. My wife remembers I would bring home loaves this big. We got to eat whole wheat bread. Look at the result. Well, I want to tell you something. I ate sweet potato out my ear. I ate health salad. And what happens? The doctors come out and they say we've been all wrong. Too much roughage. By that time, I knew it. But this was the message. As long as you eat this, you're going to be healthy. Beloved, I want to tell you that there are many fetishes, and I can assure you that it's fine, all the jogging and all the rest that goes with it, you know. And I can remember that plus this, there was the man that I used to watch. I worked downtown New York near Wall Street, and he would stand on Wall Street at every lunchtime, and he'd take this great chest expander, which had four great bands on it and two handles on the end, and he would stretch them out, and his chest would expand. Of course, I bought one of those. And that would do everything. And I can remember as he would stand there, all of us young fellows would admire this man, you know, with all of his power and his strength. And I'll never forget one day I went down and I missed him, and I went down a few days. He'd be there every lunch hour, and finally one of the fellows was there, and he said, "You hear about so-and-so?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, he showed me a newspaper with all his health and strength. An irate husband came home and killed him. Dead." All the big health and strength, you see, but hearts far from God. Beloved, we have to be careful it's not health. We have to be careful it's not just education. This is the big thing in life. I want to be educated. Well, praise God, get your education. But bathe it with prayer and with the Spirit of God. Ask God to transform your mind and give you great capacities for understanding God and His grace. And in the educational field, the one area we have to be especially careful with is the philosophical area. Be careful that one man's mind is not transferred to your mind and make you almost as a duplicate of his mind, and that's all. Because it has nothing to do with eternity. Christ and him alone, beloved with all the good health. Remember Paul's words. He says, "Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but both it and they shall perish." He says you can eat, and then he says bodily exercise profiteth what? Little. But a good mind toward God. What is he saying? He's not saying that it's wrong to be fine and strong, but he's saying when you concentrate on this and you have not a good mind toward God, you're losing it all. Because finally, no matter how healthy that body is, you're going to lay it aside. Let me tell you, with all the heart transplants in the world, you can take a 21-year-old, vibrant, healthy man's heart who's killed in an accident and put it in a 75-year-old man, and it doesn't take the wrinkles away, and it doesn't change his arteries, and it doesn't change his organs, and you've got a 21-year-old heart in a 75-year-old body, and that 75-year-old body is not made one day younger than it was before and will suffer the penalty of death just as God said. And so, beloved, there's nothing that can be done except a good mind toward God. Oh, you may prolong your life. I read there, didn't I read something where it said that for every cigarette you smoke, does someone remember how many minutes you take off your life? Or one day, is it? One day? For every cigarette you smoke, one day is removed from your life. This is the American Medical Society. For every cigarette you smoke, one day is removed from your life. Well, that may be so, but I want to say this. No matter how many health things you do, you may lengthen your life by a year or 2 years or 3 years, but it doesn't matter. You must face the judgment seat and the judgment bar of God, and you can't escape it. Sooner or later, it must be faced.
And so, beloved, with all of our strivings for education, oh, listen, it may be pleasure. You know, this may be the big binge. It may be pleasure. Maybe you'd like to swing out, you know, into great pleasure. Or you'd like to find a religion that's a little more easy on you. I couldn't help but think, this is the World Council of Churches. Out of their new young people's hymn book. You want a new form of religion? You want something brand new? Let me read you a hymn from the World Council of Churches new hymn book for young people. Here's the hymn. It was on Friday morning that they took me from the cell, and they saw they had a carpenter to crucify as well. You can blame it on Pilate, you can blame it on the Jews, you can blame it on Adam, you can blame it on Eve, you can blame it on the devil, but it's God that I accuse. You can blame it on the apple, but that I can't believe. It was God that made the devil and the woman and the man. And there wouldn't be an apple if it wasn't in the plan. Now, Barabbas was a killer and they let Barabbas go. But you are being crucified for nothing here below. God is up in heaven and he doesn't do a thing. With a million angels watching and they never move a wing. To hell with Jehovah. To the carpenter I said, I wish that a carpenter had made this world instead. Goodbye and good luck to you. Our way will soon divide. Remember me in heaven, the man you hung beside. And the chorus, it's God they ought to crucify instead of you and me, I said to the carpenter hanging on the tree. So you want a new religion, huh? Oh, listen, beloved. This faith that we preach from this pulpit is the faith that saves the human soul. Suppose death was to come to your house this year, huh? I want you to think of yourself for just a moment as I close, because I'm going to close quickly. Death is coming to the house, your house. It's you. It's you. Who would have thought Clara Andas would be gone, huh? Mother, how old are you? 90 I would lay to rest this year those dear friends here? I think of Elsie Benton, Lee Shank, 40. Listen, mother, father, if it were going to be you, young fella, if it were going to be you, if it were really going to be you, honestly now, think of it, what would you do? Is there some area of your life that ought to be cleaned up? Is there some area of your life you ought to get right with God now? You can't wait. Death doesn't come that way. Death doesn't give a lot of warning sometimes. Death doesn't say, 2 weeks from now I'm coming, or a month from now I'm coming, so get yourself all straightened out. Here and there I hear someone going in for the operation, you know, and they'll say to me, Pastor, I've got myself all straightened out. I made my will. I did this, and I've left so-and-so to say, and then I look at him and I say, have you got straight with God? Is there any unconfessed sin in your life? Have you made sure you confessed it? Have you got right with God? Suppose it were you. On the highways coming home from college this year, 100 died, college students, getting home for Christmas. 100. Oh, I know you say, oh, couldn't be me. Oh, it could be you. It could be you. It could be me. Is there any area of your life you ought to get straightened out? Is there? Father, is there? grandpa, grandma, doesn't matter who, young person, is there someplace? Is there an area of sin that ought to be straightened out? Is an area of your life and your love for others? Maybe there's something you're holding in your heart against somebody that should be forgiven. Maybe there's some child. Maybe there's some grandchild. Have you really prayed your heart out? Have you shed a tear for this boy, this girl? Have you done something? Have you lacked in your love for your wife? Have you lacked in your love for your husband? Have you begun to show for God? You've got an eternity to face. If you don't get straightened out now, how are you going to face it?
Now is the accepted time when we speak of salvation, but I want to tell you, now is the accepted time to get straightened out. Because boast not thyself of tomorrow, God says. Why? For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You can't tell. Have you been bearing a good witness to your mate? Have you been bearing a good witness to your children? If your mate is not saved, do you honestly believe that you will be separated for time and eternity from that mate? And you tell me you really love them, but you haven't shed one tear over them, you haven't prayed over them. The children are out in the world. They confessed Christ when they were young. They were baptized into Jesus Christ, but they've been swept up. They've got out into a college. They've gone somewhere. They're in business someplace. And you look at them and your heart breaks within you. Are you praying your heart out? Do you pray on your job? Do you pray in the kitchen, Mother? Do you pray everywhere you go? This shows what's the most important thing in your life. And if tomorrow God were to take you home, he would find you faithful. It was a serious matter, but of course everyone has to look in their own heart this morning. Young person, you have to look in your own heart, you see. Everyone's individual. Everyone's individual. You can glib it off, you can laugh it off, but judgment comes. And I want to tell you something. There'll be no laughing at the judgment seat. No laughing. Serious business. Serious business. May those two questions hang in our hearts. What is the most important thing in my life? Is it Christ? And if God should take me by death before Jesus comes again in 1969, is life right? With my wife, with my husband, with my children, with thee. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you'd touch our hearts this morning. Oh Lord, there's so much that can be changed in our lives. There's not one of us, pastor, people alike, that life can't be done. And we're so thankful that Scripture tells us nothing is impossible to God. We sometimes think we live in an impossible situation. We hear those words sometimes. I'm in an impossible. Oh, no, you're not. Not unless I have a God who's been lying all along. He says, with God, everything is possible. And Lord, we want to bring you into our lives to take control and to lead us and guide us. Be a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our way. Father, will you guide young people this morning, please? Lord, I love them as a pastor. The prayer of my heart is that you would guide them. It's a hard day they're living in. Let them not be duped by the philosophies of men, remembering that life eternal is never involved with a man, but is only involved with Jesus Christ. May mothers and fathers, Lord, would you build up and increase a holy love for each other? Where romance is dead, restore it. Age has nothing to do with romance. Put it in fathers and mothers, husbands and wives' hearts for each other. Bless our families as a whole. for Franklin Avenue Baptist Church is either a reflection of good family lives or it is a reflection of nothing. It is a reflection of family lives lived for Christ. And so we pray that you touch all kind of hearts this morning, young and old alike, that we might resolve one thing. The most important thing in life for me is Christ, for myself and for my family. I care not if God takes away everything I have, as long as my faith is strong in Christ and my family's faith is the same. And if you come quickly and take me this year, if my heart should stop beating, if some tragedy should snatch me out, Father, I want things right. Beginning right now, God, I've got to make up some roads that I've been neglecting, roads to houses where maybe I've had a hard feeling, some loved one, some son, some daughter that I have become angry with and upset with. God, help me to love like Christ loved. He didn't love me because I was so lovely. He loved me when I was alienated and afar off, deep in sin, and won me to himself. Father, do this. While every head is bowed, if this is the resolve of your heart this morning, just put your hand up. Anybody, everybody. Just put, yes, praise the Lord. Yes, I see hands all over. Praise God. Amen. This is the resolve of your heart this morning. Praise God. Father, we thank thee for all the hands that went up, and certainly this is the petition of our hearts. It's not a one-day thing that we just put our hands up and that's it, but Lord, may it be constant through 1969. Now, Father, bless every heart this morning with thy precious word. In Christ's name, amen.